If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and this has been a big week for recruiting. We have Barry Wallace, top 30 basketball player for the women's team, who has committed. Think of this as kind of Green getting her IO. This is a big, big talent win for her. They have done a wonderful job recruiting so far, and this is what you get when you go to the NCAA tournament and you shock the whole country with a fantastic year with over 20 wins. So excellent to see the women's basketball team getting that. They're on the heels of Haven coming to the team, getting a 6'6" center. There's just a lot going on. 2 6'3" gals coming in from the transfer portal, plus obviously the two committed freshmen who are coming in to join the team from last year's signing. It is a exciting time to be an Illini women's basketball fan. Coach Shauna Green is building not only a very strong roster, but with bringing in new assistant coach, is putting together an incredible staff as well. So I tell you, it's exciting times for Illini women's basketball fans. And, of course, not to be outshone, earlier in the week, the Illini football program ended up bringing in Trey Petty, a 3-star quarterback from Mississippi, who we will talk a little bit about. And the general consensus is this is a player who is probably, in reality, a 4-star, a little bit underrated. It's an exciting quarterback to take a look at, and we will talk about Barry Wallace coming to the women's basketball team with Kedrick Prince, and then we will pivot and talk to Matt Stevens about what Trey Petty brings to the table. So if you want to hold on a second, we'll get them in here.
Slow down, they say. You're getting older. Relax. Seriously, you're on a mission. You've got places to go, grandkids to see. At OSF Healthcare, we want you to be the best you possible. Whoever you are, wherever you're going, whatever your mission is, we're here to support it. Because that's our mission. Your life, our mission. Learn more at osfhealthcare.org/your way.
And according to promise, we have Kedrick Prince, the Illini Guys Director of Recruiting, on. And we're going to talk today about really kind of a landmark recruitment for Coach Shauna Green. Got a 4-star top 30 player who is on the rise in terms of what scouts think of her. And this is a big one. What can you tell me about Barry Wallace from Pickerington, Ohio, and what she has as a in terms of what she can do for the Illinois basketball program, Ked?
Well, Mike, when I look at a girl like her, there's not a girl on the roster like her right now, if that makes any sense. And the reason I say that is because she is 6'1", and everyone else is kind of that tweener. You have guys like Brentrup Hill, 6'2", you know, good outside shooter, and they have some other recruits. But what makes Barry so special is that she is like a multi-talented player that can, like, if you really had to post her up and under moves, looking at her game film, tremendous. She can put it on the floor. She's aggressive. And she's just really well-taught. She's, I mean, we all say the right things, but you talk about a girl that's fundamentally sound, it's her. She is really, really good. And again, I mean, when you look at her, I see future All Big Ten basketball player. This girl's good. And, you know, there's a reason she's considered one of the top players nationally in the country. And, you know, this is probably Illinois' best chance, you know, in a while to land a McDonald's All-American. That girl, she's this good, and there's a good chance that she could put herself in that position, Mike.
So you're talking about Illinois adding, what, 2 6'3" players and a 6'6" player in this the last, you know, few weeks here using the transfer portal or high school commits. And now we have a 6'1", top 30 player. That's some really heavy lifting and some very effective recruiting from the coaching staff.
You know, it is. And the thing, you know, that I kind of tweeted, you know, the little secret of the worst kept secret in the room was Illinois needed size. And I was really glad to hear the staff didn't really say that publicly, because I don't know if there was a slap. It's not a slap in the face, you know, to the rest of the team and to players like Kendall Bostic, you know, and Brent Shupil, because they're bigs, but they're not guys, girls, excuse me, women that should have to go up against, you know, other players that are 6'5 and 6'6". That was tough for Illinois. I mean, you look at the Indiana game. I mean, Illinois went to Indiana, and my reasoning for them losing was because they needed a dominant post player defensively. Indiana was good. Iowa has a good post, had a good post player. You have to have girls that are really good and who are good in the post, and Illinois addressed that. You look at the roster that they are building and putting together. You know, Shea Boland is going to be a sophomore. She's 6'3". She's going to be around. You know, Camille Hobby's a graduate student, but you got size. And then Haven Smith is a 6'6" freshman. And here's what's unique, Mike, about every one of the kids that Illinois has on their roster that they're recruiting. They can all shoot. Even, yes, Haven Smith is 6'6". Because the days, even with the – we all focus so much on the men program and how the game has changed. The women's is the same thing, same way. They don't just throw the ball in the post and let people post up anymore. Shauna and her staff, they have put together a great group of players that can play all positions, that can shoot it. And that's what made Illinois so special this year, is how well they shot it.
Yeah, and what would this team this year have been like if they'd have had a big inside, you know, or just more size? I felt that Kendall Bostic at maybe 6'1", maybe. I felt she was always anywhere from 2 to 5 inches shorter than who she was playing against. And I have no idea how she managed to be a double-double machine with the size disadvantage that she competed in and night out, and never a complaint.
No, and even the last game when they lost to Mississippi State, she was hurt. She played hard, and you're right. I was going to say that you took the words right out of my mouth. Her being able to get double-doubles and to master that and be really good at doing that now, because, you know, you add more size, her game is going to expand. I mean, it's tough to say what the Big Ten is going to look like, but I can assure you, I'm 100% positive when the preseason rankings come out and the polls come out, Illinois is going to be right there. And one of the reasons, they are the one roster, I think, in Ohio State, they return everybody. And then you add the depth, and we did not talk about Miss Basketball, Gretchen Dolan from New York, and Corey Allen, who is one of the top 75 basketball players in the country, who, to me, I don't know how they're going to keep her off the floor. This Shauna, what she has done in year one, and she's told us, you know, that she thought this was going to take a while. I think she's got to be surprised herself, and she even admitted that to us in a press conference once, that, you know, they're kind of ahead of schedule, at least the way the team played. What they have done is remarkable, Mike. It truly is.
Yeah, and I think, look, for those that know me, you know, I had years of sales and made it all the way to the VP level and hire salespeople all the time. And the one thing that Shauna has, and I think it's a gift that you just don't see from many people, even in the sales world, is when you talk with her one-on-one, you really believe that morning she got up just to talk to you And you, it feels like she's so engaged, and she listens, and she, you know, gets involved in the conversation with a degree of enthusiasm that you actually are thinking, like, you know, this is like the most important thing she has going all day. And I think that has to be incredibly effective, that ability to connect on a one-on-one basis with a recruit, when you're sitting there thinking, you know, for the next 4 years, I'm going to be playing for this woman. And when you connect on that level, it's got to feel like, you know, this is going to be, we're going to have success. I'm going to get better. She's going to push me, but I'm also going to like the person that I'm being coached by. I don't care what anybody says. If you find a good leader that you personally like, that means life is a lot more fun. And I think when she's on the recruiting trail, that has to show through.
I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to show my age here, but I've been around a lot of coaches all over the country, and especially at the University of Illinois. And sometimes, you know, when I talk to these coaches, I get really excited. You know, I don't want to say nerves set in, but like you're in awe that you're talking to them. And here's what makes Shawna Green different than any coach that I've ever talked to down there. And even I remember the night Lou Henson called me. What makes Shawna Green special is exactly what you said. It's like talking to a friend. I remember talking to her a couple of times, and then I've seen her at a couple of caravans. Then I remember talking to her in Peoria. And it's like, it's personable. It's not fake. And that's what, I mean, it's really weird to say. Not that the other coaches that I met throughout the years are fake. I'm not saying that. But it's basically, she's like my homie. It's like you could just talk to her, and you don't feel like, okay, she's just giving you some kind of answers. And the time that I really knew in my mind that Shawna Green was the right person was I went to a caravan in Peoria, and I was talking to her, and we were talking recruiting just in general. And then I started talking to A.J. Guyton, who's Illinois recruiting his daughter, and he made the comment to me. He's like, she's different. I mean, just the way she talks to people, and, you know, you don't feel pressure, and she doesn't sell you things because, I mean, let's face it, he's played at that level. And so it's very noticeable to them how well she could communicate. There's another girl from my area that they're recruiting, you know, and it is different. They all, it's, you know what? The one girl said to me, it's kind of hard to tell her no because she has turned the program around. And Mike, you're right. Why would you not want to play for a coach like that? And I'll make this last comment on that issue. One time we had Adelia McKenzie on our radio show, and Adelia made the comment to us, playing for Coach Green makes it tough because you don't want to let her down. She's really good at what she does. She treats us like, you know, she would treat her own kid. And I don't want to, you know, forget these people as well. Her assistant coach is Clemente McIntyre. Is awesome. Deontay Beasley, he's a guy that nobody talks about. And they just hired Brittany Anderson. So her staff is really, really good. She put together a good staff. And the thing that makes them really, really special is that they all recruit together. It's not one person. So it's not just one person that's recruiting Mike Hagley. It's the whole staff. So you get the whole family atmosphere with him.
Well, and just for folks, you know, who you know, listen to our podcast. I don't want anybody to think I'm an insider. I'm not. That's Brad and Ted's job. And they talk to the coaches regularly and develop just fantastic relationships with them. But I do have times that I get to interact with the coaches. And, you know, I had the opportunity to talk to Shawna for, you know, 15, 20 minutes at the, when they showed off the new oven training complex. And it was really interesting because as a former sales guy, I'm looking at somebody and thinking like, you know, are they going to be able to recruit? How do they build one-on-one relationships? How do they communicate? And I was quite honestly amazed at how good she was at that. And then when you go in and see the second part of that is coaches have to be able to have that ability to inspire others. They have to be able to get them to come and play because there's plenty of other places that you can go play basketball in the United States, many of whom who have more NIL money than Illinois does. So you have to have that personality. You can't just think that the word Illinois on the jersey is going to make people commit. And she doesn't have to worry about that because the likability factor is so high, engaging personality, very quick on her feet. But then the other thing that makes her special is you watch Illini basketball games and her team will pivot and do different things in the second half than they did in the first half in response to opponents' tweaks. And that's really the level you have to be in the Big Ten, because whether it's, you know, football or men's basketball or women's basketball or shoot, you know, any other sport out there, you know, baseball, golf, whatever, you've got such good coaches that you have to be able to react to what they do. And when you can get somebody who's got that personality that's positive and that ability to actually coach, that's a rare thing. And, you know, I think she stands out that way. And that's why I kind of say that. I would not claim to know her. But the other person on the staff that I've had the opportunity to interview is Calamity McIntyre, who has that same type of personality. She's got a great sense of humor, knows basketball up and down. And, you know, we've had a chance now with Brittany Anderson to interview her. And holy cow, there's another person who is just a great communicator who knows the sport of basketball. You know, there's quite a staff being assembled here to make sure that they can attract talent, then develop it and coach it well. Ed, I'm thinking that this is a program that's on the rise, and I'm not talking on the, you know, on the elevator that goes to the sixth floor. I'm talking about one of those high rise elevators. The staff, boy, they're good.
Mike, you know, let's look at the roster. You know what? We're talking about a basketball recruit today, you know, in Barry. And, you know, one girl who stayed on the roster was recruited by another staff is Delia McKenzie. She was Miss Basketball from Minnesota. The roster is good. She brought in a girl to a transfer player from Dayton, you know, and she brought in Genesis Bryant. You know, both of those girls, they made all conference. You know, there's the talent level that you're talking about and the ceiling, it's the bar is going to be high. And I'll tell you, the Big Ten last year overall was the best conference overall. They had a lot of teams that were just outstanding. And if you look at how the women's game has changed, and I'm sure the new commissioner is going to market, you know, the women's game, because, you know, they were on the big stage this year and Iowa being there. And I can tell you off record, I bet if you talk to Coach Shauna Green, she's not just trying to get to the tournament. She wants to win titles and she wants to advance and continue to win and to play in that last game. This roster is deep. It's good. She put together a roster that is diverse, as far as like players who can do different things and players who, you know, who will be able to showcase their strengths this year. Here's an example. I would really like to see, you know, Kendall Bostic, you know, if she didn't have to play the five, you know, instead of getting 10 rebounds, she maybe gets 15 or 16 or 17 because she doesn't have to go up against, you know, women that are, you know, 4 or 5 inches taller than her. So you're right. You know, she makes adjustments. The one game I revert back to all time, and, you know, no, I'm not going to say Iowa. It was the loss at Ohio State, Mike. When they went to Ohio State, to me had the best women's press I've seen in college basketball. And Illinois went in to Ohio State, to Columbus, and they had a 17-point lead going into the third quarter. I know Coach Green, if she listens to this, she'll get mad at me for saying this, but I thought they wore down. I thought they just got tired. She didn't like that because she made that after a post-game speech. That's an excuse because Ohio State played players that play a lot of minutes. But her adjustments and the way she attacked that press for three quarters, it was great. And then I think other teams used what Illinois did as a recipe to break Ohio State's press, which is kudos to Coach Shauna Green. Now that she has depth, losing a 17-point lead, I think Ohio State was second or third in the country at that time. Those are going to translate to wins.
Yeah, that's exciting. And I know you do some record, you know, some articles on the women's basketball team and recruiting. Maybe later on this spring you can put together the KEDS depth chart, even though we know that it's probably the way too early depth chart, but this team is going to look remarkably different as they get this length and this size and, you know, the shooting that is coming in this class that's going to be here in June. I think it's going to be exciting for Illinois fans who had a great year this year, enjoying women's basketball when it wasn't anticipated. Now, all of a sudden, they're going to have a better year next year, and everybody will be anticipating it. And who knows, the way that things are going, maybe this will be a second year of exceeding expectations.
You know what I want to see, and a lot of people don't like this, but oh well. I want to see the fans get out, and I want to see them get out, and I want to see them support them. Adelia also told us it makes the players play hard. They like seeing a full house. And this is, you know, this past season of 1 year, Coach Green was able to fill the whole Lord Bowl. I don't remember in my lifetime, and I'm 110 years old, to seeing the Illinois basketball do that. I just haven't. And I can assure you, you know, with the PR that we're doing and promoting the program at Illini Guys, people are taking notice. You know, when I tweeted today with the commitment today, I mean, usually you'll get 4 or 5 likes. Now there's 200 and 300 in retweets, and people are talking about, you know, they're ready for Big Ten women's basketball to start. That is awesome to me because the game has changed and it is different. I mean, it is different, and they're fun to watch because they're the style of play, the fundamentally sound. And I will tell you this: I was able to talk to Haven Smith, the recruit this week, the 6'6 recruit this week, and had a lengthy conversation with her mom, and we talked about the whole Illinois thing. And she was, the mother, Tammy, was kind of baffled. She's like, why do you have to leave? You know, Illinois has everything you want, the facilities, the coaches. You know, if you live in the state, you can drive a few hours and go see your kid play. So having said that, she is doing exactly what Brad Underwood did when he first got here. You know, you got some of the best players, you know, around, and now you got players, top players in the state that are looking, and in the Midwest.
Yeah, it's quite a win here. I want to, before we let you go, Ked, because I appreciate you taking time here on a Saturday afternoon. Any thoughts on Trey Petty, the quarterback that the Illini football team got a commitment from earlier in the week?
You talk about a surprise. I want to say it was a surprise, but it wasn't, because I think there was rumblings that Illinois was going to get this kid. But think about what you and I have been doing this for 2 years, and Illinois got a high school quarterback out of Mississippi. That never happens. I mean, that tells you what people are thinking of Brett Bielema and this kid's talent, and what they have looking more, you know, what they have moving forward, because the future at the quarterback position is going to be taken care of.
Yeah, and let's be honest here. Ked's being nice. Ked's done this for over 20 years. I've done it for over 2. So he's just being nice and talking about Illini guys. But, of course, you folks who've been around a while remember Ked running scout single-handedly for years. That's why he is one of the insiders, along with Brad Sturdy, is when you've covered a college for over 20 years, there's just a certain amount of credibility that these two gentlemen have that allows coaches to feel like they can have conversations with them, not only on recruiting, but just on basketball in general, because they know both men have coached extensively and both men will be here tomorrow, not just to talk about it today. So appreciate that, Ked. And yeah, Trey is one that I think is, again, another piece that is so necessary to start getting into that football crazy Southeast. And if we, you know, the Illini can pick a person or two off there and they have success, that's just something that breeds other success, as we're seeing some Florida DBs take a look at Illinois because of the success of some of the Florida DBs who are now in the NFL.
Well, you know what? It's going to help the Big Ten, too. It's very marketable. It's going to be on coast to coast, and all the games are on TV. So, you know, parents, you know, back in the 80s, you know, I don't want to send my kid there because I'm never going to see him play. Now you don't have to make that drive, and now you're able to see those kids, you know, to see your son or daughter play. You know, and the thing about, you know, getting a guy like this early, it builds depth. I like the fact that Bielema, he's not changing who he is. He believes in the high school system. He's not going to run to the transfer portal. And if you can build some depth, and you can, I mean, like, look at the quarterback position. You know, Altmaier is he's going to be a sophomore, you know, and now you have depth, and, you know, you got Leary there. So that's nice. When was the last time Illinois had quality depth at the quarterback position? Because every year it was a new guy, Mike. Now that's no longer going to be the case. And also at other positions, they're really trying, even the preferred walk-on program. A lot of people take that for granted. I can't, because some of those kids who prefer walk-ons, they become scholarship players. And Bielema is doing it the right way as well.
Yeah, Bielema puts guys in the NFL. I mean, that's just what he does. You know, again, I'm more than willing to tell you when I'm right and wrong on stuff. And, wow, I was not enthused about Bielema's hire. And free to admit, right, you know, as things are going right now, I was clearly not clued in on what was going on, and Josh Whitman certainly won that battle. So, you know, great job by Shauna this week. Great job by Coach B. There is a ton to be excited about in Illinois sports and Illinois recruiting. And, of course, we've got Kedrick Prince, the director of recruiting here, who will make sure you hear everything. And, of course, as you go, the transfer portal, there's a lot of rumors, a lot of behind-the-scenes work going on. If you really want to keep track of that, you go to the message boards at IlliniGuys.com. And if you're a member, you can get back there and kind of hear what's happening before it happens and get some unique perspectives, not only, you know, about what may be happening, but how people feel about it and how they perceive the recruiting process, et cetera. Anything else before we close out your portion of the show here, Ked?
No, except for, I mean, you know, we started this podcast with Shauna Green. It was a good week for women's basketball. And I'm sure Josh Whitman is smiling ear to ear because he hit a home run with this hire.
Yeah, we might have to call her nickname might be Grand Slam, you know, or maybe she's a four-point play, you know, a three-point play plus an and one, because it's hard to describe just how well she has performed in her position since she got to University of Illinois. With that, folks, we are going to go into a quick commercial break here, and then Matt Stevens will stop by and we will talk a little bit more about Trey Petty. But thanks so much for Kedrick Prince to take time out of his Saturday afternoon to talk about what is going on with recruiting at University of Illinois and the big win for the women's basketball program earlier today. We'll be right back.
At Busey Wealth Management, we're proud to partner with individuals, families, and foundations, ensuring possibilities become achievements. From preserving and enhancing your assets to securing your legacy for future generations, we're focused on your success. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
A supplemental.
And here we are back from that commercial. Thanks for hanging on. And Matt Stevens has joined us here in the Illini Guys studio, and he's going to be telling us a little bit about Trey Petty, the Mississippi quarterback. This is one of the rare times I can remember that we go into the Southeast to pull out a signal caller for the Illini. This is not an event that happens very regularly. So the women's team pulls in a top 30 recruit, and the football team brings in a Southeastern quarterback. So it's been kind of a pretty cool week for Illinois recruiting. Matt, what are your overall thoughts on Mr. Petty and his decision, which was, in fairness, kind of called the shot of Mike Farrell, who predicted this earlier in the week in his The Farrell Files Illinois column that he does on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Friday mornings on IlliniGuys.com.
First of all, sure, he sure did. And second of all, you know, I'm going to use some sales language for you, Mike Cagley, which is, I think Brett Bielema was finding another inefficiency in the marketplace. And what I mean by that is the state of Mississippi. And I really think that Brett Bielema, and specifically once he hired Barry Lenny Jr., as his offensive coordinator, who is originally from Arkansas and has a lot of ties in the Texas area and the southeastern part of the country. They have identified the state of Mississippi as a market inefficiency in terms of recruiting and recruiting high school talent. I can tell you, having lived in Starkville, Mississippi for 6 years, that is accurate, because the old saying still goes that if you live in Mississippi and you're a high school football product and a high school football prospect, you get born with 3 stars. If you live in Alabama and in Georgia, you get born with 4. And so there are more, and this is a stat that Dan Mullen used to use when he was the Mississippi State head football coach, when I was there covering the Bulldogs. There is more NFL talent per capita in the state of Mississippi than in any other state in the United States of America. And there's a reason for that. And I can give you some firsthand knowledge as to the reason for that. And this doesn't really apply to Trey Petty, and I apologize for going into this, but I think this is what Dan Mullen and Brett Bielema and Barry Lunney and some other, you know, Thad Ward have figured out about the southeastern part of the country and specifically Mississippi. There are places that still in Mississippi where kids just don't get recruited. Believe it or not, in the modern day, we all have the internet, we all have these services. They just don't get recruited as well. And I think they found something with Trey Petty where I think he initially was the first choice in the 24 class in terms of quarterbacks for Mississippi State. And then Mike Leach passed away. And they went a completely different route in terms of quarterback once Mike Leach passed away and that staff completely turned over. And Trey Petty had to basically figure out where he was going to go. And at that point, he became very much part of the open market again. And this is a kid who, if you've ever seen him, and then I'm going to get into why this could be a market boom for Illinois later on, but if you've seen his social media, he would put out about once a month, hey, my recruitment is still 100% wide open, right? Once he started doing that, and there still wasn't a whole lot of takers in the SEC, which is what kids usually want to stay with when they live in Mississippi or in Louisiana or then like around that area, it became a global marketplace for one of the best quarterbacks in the state of Mississippi. And I think Barry, and it's funny because I talked to Trey's high school coach, Chris Jones, over at Starkville, and they just got done winning a state championship last fall at the highest classification in Mississippi. I want people to understand this. They are not playing small town. This is not small town Mississippi. There's a reason why when you go and look at Trey Petty's huddle tape, it's turf fields. And that's, I'm sorry to say this in Mississippi, but that's a common rule of thumb that your school has money. And Starkville High has money. Trust me, it's right off of Highway 12. You can't miss it. And they have money. And they have been rebuilt in the last 10 years into one of the most, you know, prolific high school programs in the state of Mississippi and one of the highest classifications. So the reason is that I just feel like, you know, Mississippi kids just get overlooked. Mike, do you remember when you were still traveling all the time as a salesman, we all had to go buy those GPS things for our cars at Circuit City, yep, and Best Buy, yeah, and all that before your iPhone had Google Maps on it, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I did that in 2009 when I was covering Mississippi State because I also had to cover high schools in Mississippi. And I'm sure it'll shock everybody to know that there are a lot of high schools at that time in Mississippi that were not on a modern GPS system. So I had to, you know, physically plug in the coordinates to say East Webster High School or East Oktibbeha High School, where, and I'm not kidding about this, the field goal posts on the north end like tilted 45 degrees. And the reason I tell that story is because the first kid that Dan Mullen recruited in 2009 at Mississippi State was a kid named Jonathan Banks out of East Webster High School. Dan Mullen saw him once, was scared to death that a Florida, an Alabama, an Auburn, a Georgia would come in and steal him, you know, out of the state. And a coach had to walk up to him and say, Coach Mullen, you don't have to worry about that. Like, we're not on a modern GPS system here at East Webster High School. Like, he'll never get found because he doesn't go camp. Because a lot of Mississippi kids don't go camp, like at, you know, the big market areas either. And Dan Mullen walked into our writer's room on the campus of Mississippi State and literally pointed at me because he knew I covered local high schools. And he goes, I've heard this story. Is this true? And in my duffel bag, I reached out and showed him on my GPS how I had to literally plug in East Webster High School to get to Jonathan Banks. And so that's one story. Fletcher Cox, who's a, I think, 10-time Pro Bowler and All Pro at Philadelphia, comes from Yazoo City, Mississippi. They don't have a McDonald's. It's the first city in the town in the world where they don't have a McDonald's, and the football field was not mowed. Okay. So you can understand that the kids just from that area, they come from all kinds of shapes and sizes. And Mississippi State under Dan Mullen was able to make a market out of kids that were just under recruited because they grew up and they were raised in Mississippi. Throughout the transition to Joe Moorhead, to Mike Leach, to now the current system at Mississippi State, the value of in-state kids has kind of gone away. And so those kids still have to have places to go to college because they are Power Five ready to go kids. And so they end up, believe it or not, this is why the Sun Belt is now becoming, you know, SEC football light, right? It's if you drink Miller Genuine Draft, that's the SEC. Miller Lite is the Sun Belt, right? And so those Troys, South Alabamas, Georgia Southerns, you know, Coastal Carolinas, all of those schools you see in the quote-unquote Fun Belt, the Sun Belt, why they have so good talent is because the SEC schools just aren't recruiting those in-state kids. First reason is because they don't have room for them. And second of all, they've already portaled so much that or they're relying on the portal so much that they've devalued high school kids. Well, some of those kids are G5 ready. You've seen like Josh McCray out of a nothing town in Alabama comes in and shoots up as a freshman at Illinois for almost 200 yards against Purdue and has almost 600 yards in his true freshman season because he was ready to play at an SEC school. I mean, and Illinois just got a really, really good player because the SEC schools didn't have room for him. He had to have someplace to go. Brett Bielema had a connection with his high school coach. Bing, bang, boom, you got yourself a 240-pound tailback that's ready to go. Bring this all back to Trey Petty. I think this is what Brett Bielema and Barry Lunny have done again. I think they have found themselves a quarterback who eventually, I think, can take over this program when and if Luke Altmyer decides to walk out the door. And I really feel that way. And I think they've found a marketplace in Central Mississippi, in Starkville, Columbus, West Point. It's the Golden Triangle of Mississippi, or the three towns that I just mentioned. And there's NFL quality talent in those towns, you know, each and every recruiting class. And Trey Petty could be one of those guys. I think I've seen his huddle tape. I hate evaluating huddle tape because Mike Farrell will tell you guys this all the time on when you have him on, you know, the radio show or the podcast. Everybody's huddle tape looks great. Yep. How many incomplete passes have you ever seen on a huddle tape, right? I mean, so I hate evaluating huddle tape, but it's all I got right now because I can't drive 12 hours to go watch Trey Petty, you know, next week play in his spring jamboree game over at Starkville High, right? So when I look at his huddle tape, when I talked to his high school coach, it all made sense to me because Barry Lunny recruited Trey Petty because he likes what he does in the pocket, which is going to be important when he comes and plays in Illinois' offense, right? Well, Brett Bielema likes Trey Petty because of what he does outside of the pocket. Brett Bielema specifically, and this is going to be in a piece up on IlliniGuys.com, Brett Bielema has told Chris Jones, the high school coach at Starkville High, this is the first quarterback I've ever recruited that has reminded me the most of Russell Wilson. And remind everybody, Trey Petty is 2.5, almost 3 inches taller than Russell Wilson was when he got to Wisconsin. Russell Wilson is 5'10". Trey Petty is at least 6'1.5". But there are so many things that Brett Bielema feels like when he can get with Trey Petty and get him in his system where he can just give him the offensive line protection and then say, hey, Trey, you figure it out. There are so many things that Trey Petty does on his huddle tape, and his high school coach mentioned this name so many times, and I hate it because everybody used to do this when I was in school, and they used to mention John Elway and Dan Marino. But he mentioned Patrick Mahomes, and the reason I'll mention Patrick Mahomes' name is because there's so many things that he does fundamentally you would never teach a quarterback to do, but he is just so athletically gifted, Mike, that you get a sense that it's going to be okay. I talked to Chris about how he coaches Trey, and Chris coached Luke Altmaier and he coached Trey at the same time at Starkville High. And he's like, I had to coach Trey so differently than any other quarterback I've ever had, because I wanted to keep him clustered so much and I wanted to almost take away what he does so well. And I had to learn how to not do that, because all of the things that make me nervous about Trey are when he makes great plays. And it'll be interesting to see what he can get away with at the college level when he gets to Illinois. But I think there's a lot athletically that he can still get away with at the college level that translates into what he's doing at the high school level. So that's to say a lot of different things. But I also know one of the top five recruits in the state of Mississippi who's still uncommitted in the 24 class is Trey Petty's running back at Starkville High. And he is already being recruited by all of the Southeastern Conference schools in America. Well, he just got an offer from Illinois, and they're best friends. So I don't know if that's going to translate into that kid going to Illinois, but I know that Trey felt more comfortable going to Illinois because he had backed up Luke Altmaier since ninth grade and had a connection there, okay, and looked up to Luke Altmaier. Luke Altmaier's dad was his AAU basketball coach, his middle school basketball coach when Trey played basketball. And so there's already a connection there. And so when Trey had to reevaluate his whole recruiting once Mike Leach passed away and he knew he wasn't going to be able to go, I tell this story all the time. You can throw a stone from midfield at Starkville High and hit Mississippi State University. But when he realized he had to reevaluate his whole recruitment, Illinois being a option for Trey happened because Luke Altmaier decided that was where he wanted to end up, and the transfer portal. And by doing that, it made Trey more comfortable to feel like, okay, at least I know somebody who's been, somebody that I've looked up to for a long time as a middle schooler. And then as a young high schooler, at least somebody will be there that can guide me through the process for maybe at least a year, if not two. Right. And so that was a big deal too, but I really feel like it's another avenue to why Brett Bielema hired Barry Lunny Jr., which is, I think everybody thought, well, he's going to get into Texas, he's going to get into Arkansas, but there's other states like Mississippi, and then there's parts of Louisiana where LSU can't even get to, that Barry Lunny's already made an impact in and made connections with, previous connections with, and that's how they got Trey Petty, because I think, this kid needed somewhere to go. We knew he was a Power 5 talent. And I think Illinois got an absolute steal, because the kid that Mississippi State got committed in March out of the 24 class, their quarterback is born and raised in Mobile, Alabama. This is just another example, and he's rated higher than Trey Petty. And this is just another example of, even 10 years ago when I was down in Mississippi, well, if it's flipped and Trey Petty is born in Mobile, Alabama, he's a 4-star, and the kid who's from Starkville High is a 3-star. That's just kind of the way it works from a regional dynamic standpoint. I don't agree with it. You would think that all of this NFL talent, Fletcher Cox, Chris Jones, Jeffrey Simmons, all of those kids are from Nowhereville, small town Mississippi. You think that it would eventually change. It doesn't, because these recruiting services rely so heavily on these camps that are in big market areas that some of those kids just can't get to. Again, this doesn't affect Trey Petty because he was at all of those camps. But I think people still look at the highest classification of Mississippi and don't think that it's very quality high school ball. I'm telling you, there's a reason why Starkville High plays in a region in Mississippi that's called the SEC region of Mississippi. They don't have a cupcake. I've covered that schedule. It is a murderer's row schedule, and it is why it's pretty impressive over the last 10 years that Starkville has been able to have the transformation that it's had, as a football program, because it used to be everybody's homecoming game, and now Starkville High is winning state titles.
Yeah. And it's great to hear about this. You got a kid, got a good arm. He's mobile. I mean, it looks like he's the total package, underrated, and my gosh, if you go back and look at Bielma's history of guys who have been kind of overlooked by the rating services, you know, again, it's not every guy certainly, but there's some of those people that are, you know, in the NFL and, you know, one or two that might even make the Hall of Fame. So he has a gift for being able to identify talent and then get them to come play and they realize that talent. So a huge positive there for Illinois football. And certainly, you know, it's been a while, you know, for folks who aren't as old as me, you know, in the 80s when I was in high school and college, we looked at Illinois football as being quarterback U because we had the good fortune of watching Dave Wilson, who ended up playing for the Saints, then Tony Eason, who ended up playing for the Patriots, then Jack Trudeau, who played for the Colts, and then a guy by the name of Jeff George, who was number one pick in the draft. That was what the Illinois quarterbacks were. And I'm not saying we're there yet, but all of a sudden the quarterback room now, you know, starting, I guess, last year with Tommy DeVito, now we're starting to have quarterbacks that you feel like, you know, give you a differential advantage on the football field. And, you know, now with Altmyer, Leary, and then having Petty there, you know, you look at three guys who certainly at any given point could be the leader of a very formidable college football program. So that's a big deal because Bielma's offense can be a little bit on the bland side, but if you have to worry about two or three running backs forcing the ball down your throat and you've got a quarterback who can get the ball downfield, that makes life much tougher for the defense. And I think the Illini offense is evolving to where Coach B wants to be. And I think the other part is Barry Lunney, his contacts in the Southeast are probably a little bit under appreciated, and maybe we see some of those, you know, seeds that he planted when he was working hard a decade ago are starting to bear fruit now.
Yeah, I can't underestimate that point, Mike, because look, I've made it very clear on our message boards, and if you're a subscriber, you already know this, and if you don't, you'll learn it really quickly once you do subscribe, that I would like Illinois to get into the fight with some of these big time recruits, especially in state. I've made that very well known. I do acknowledge the idea, though, that this staff is constantly trying to find market inefficiencies because that's where they feel like they have to have their bread buttered. And I get that, too. Mike Farrell has talked about it. I've talked about it. You've talked about it, Mike, is the first market inefficiency once the transfer portal window showed up was junior college. Okay. And then Brett Bielema worked really hard with the admissions people at Illinois to say, hey, we need to be able to get junior college kids into the U of I. Like, and we need to start doing that. We haven't done that since, you know, the 80s and you know, when, you know, kids like Tony Eason and Dave Wilson were coming in via junior college and Mike White was doing that. That's starting to happen again. You're starting to see that with, you know, guys like Isaiah Adams and Zy Chrysler from the junior college level that are making impacts right away. And so I would tell you that's one market inefficiency. And then when you start to look at, you know, are we still going up? Would I like Illinois to get into the fight with some of the high ranked Illinois in-state Illinois kids? Yeah, I would. And they're starting to do that with the Caden Fegans and, you know, the JoJo Haydens and all of those kind of recruits. Darian Dupree is going to be a big one in the 24 class, the running back out of Chicago. And they have a real good shot at him. So they're starting to turn that tide as well, but they've also started to look at market inefficiencies in terms of high schools of, okay, if Lane Kiffin's going to be the portal king in Mississippi and Mississippi State's not going to take every kid out of Mississippi, maybe that's a state where we can, you know, steal some kids because Barry Lunney and via him and via his dad have some really nice high school ties in the southeastern part of the country. I think that's a really good thing for Illinois to start doing. I think that's really smart. I think that's Bielema starting to figure out, you know, again, like I talked about, having a 3 to 5 year plan for this. And then they've just gotten two high school kids from, you know, the Starkville High area that are going to play quarterback for them. And that's Luke Altmyer out of the transfer portal, but with 3 years of eligibility left, and then a Trey Petty that can come in and learn right under him. And what I really like about it is twofold. One is, again, the market inefficiency of finding states where per capita they're producing NFL quality talent. But B, you're not having to go to the transfer portal every year for a quarterback. And I know that's become the niche thing for a lot of programs to do, but at Illinois, under Barry's system, if you can get a kid in there and have him learn, and you can have Luke Altmyer, a 2-year starter in that system, you know, Donovan Leary, a 3-year player in that system potentially, or if he wants to transfer because he's not getting playing time and he wants to go find someplace to play, I'm not saying that's going to happen because I have no knowledge of that's going to happen. But then you have somebody like Trey Petty that can come right in as maybe a third-year sophomore or even a second-year redshirt freshman who might be ready to for that backup role. And I do think there's going to be some transition for Trey. I think there are times in which I've seen from his tape, and I mentioned it to his high school coach, that his fundamentals in terms of his feet and how it relates to accuracy show up on tape. And then he gets a little wonky with it, and he's able to get away with it because he's so athletically gifted. And you can see some of those basketball skills that he had early on in his career translate to what he does on the football field. It'll be interesting to see what translates once he gets to Champaign, but athletically he is so gifted that I think that Illinois couldn't possibly not resist the idea of throwing out a scholarship and then making a serious play for him. Because as we know, Mike, Brett Bielema is very, very picky about what he likes and what he doesn't like, especially even with high school kids. So it is not fundamentally shocking to me that Trey Petty, I think, was maybe the third, if at most the fourth quarterback in the 24 class that Illinois even offered, because he checked every box. And once he checked every box, okay, we're going to go hard at this kid. Because our competition is Southern Miss. Our competition is Troy. Our competition is Georgia Southern. And God bless him, but Brett Bielema says, you know what? We ought to out-recruit them. I mean, it's local for that kid, but we ought to out-recruit them because we've got star power at Illinois that says we're a big boy school and we're a power conference school, and we should be able to get him if we want to get him and make him a priority. Illinois did that. And the reason I say that, and I'll get out of here, is – if Trey Petty's recruitment extended throughout the summer, Mike, and he was able to go camp, I think it would have become less and less likely that Illinois would have been a major favorite for his recruitment. Somebody would have saw him and said, you know what? We're going to pull the trigger on him now because he's gotten better. We like what we see out of when he came to our camp. Illinois wasn't ready to have that happen. And I do get the sense that once he committed to Illinois, I don't think that his recruitment will reopen. I could be wrong. I've been wrong in the past, but he seems pretty steadfast about this because of the commitment that Illinois made to him to recruit him from so far away and the feeling of comfort that he had on his visit this a couple of weeks ago with, you know, one of his, you know, visit supervisors being Luke Altmyer. So I think that was a major pitch for him, and Illinois made the right pitch. They made it aggressively, and I think they got themselves a quarterback that I think a lot of SEC schools are going to regret not taking a chance on because they have now gone into the portal for a quarterback maybe once or even twice in the 4 years that Trey Petty will be in college.
Yeah, it's exciting to see, and of course, from Trey's standpoint, Brett Bielema is pretty disciplined. He doesn't usually bring in more than one per quarterback per season, so you kind of know your competition, and it's not, you know, who turns on the coach's eye, you know, and gets him excited last. You know, he kind of sticks with the one per year, and that's how he operates. So from a standpoint of being a quarterback, I think there's probably some nice stability there.
I think there is, Mike. I think there's a trust factor in this guy won't recruit over me unless I'm just not proving myself by the time I get there. And yep. I think there are a lot of other SEC schools that are, you know, God love them. It means more where you see kids go into the portal or kids get recruited, and now they're, you know, a redshirt freshman, and now they just brought in a quarterback who has 3 years of eligibility left out of the portal, right? You see that all the time. And a lot of people are going to say, well, isn't that what they just did with Donovan Leary? And that's not what they did with Donovan Leary, because Luke Altmyer, they've staggered it where Illinois does not, if everything goes right, Illinois is not of the opinion that Luke Altmyer will use all 3 years of eligibility. I mean, and that's where Donovan Leary comes in. And but they understand we have to now have a quarterback who's ready to go if Donovan Leary wants to go somewhere and, you know, play right away. Right. And so because he's looked really, really good this spring, too. And so we have to be prepared for that. And I think there's too many schools now that are looking at the portal and saying, OK, now we got our quarterback. We're good. What if he gets hurt? And so I think Illinois is building a lot of depth at the quarterback position that they haven't had in many, many a year. And that's why you saw instantly that Brett Bielema brought in an Art Sitkowski. And he's brought in like a John Paddock, because I just got to get depth in the room. I think if they keep recruiting high school level quarterbacks like this, I don't think they're going to have to go that route all the time. And I think it'll be a very, very smooth transition from one quarterback to the next, having already been in the system. And I think that's what you didn't have out of Tommy DeVito, and he made it work. And you didn't have this spring out of Luke Altmyer. And I think he's going to eventually be able to make it work, because he's going to be in the system for a while.
Good. Well, thank you so much, Matt, for taking time out of a Saturday afternoon to share with Illini Guys fans just exactly what this means. Again, just a really a big close to the week for two programs. And, of course, stay tuned to IlliniGuys.com for what happens with the basketball program as the transfer portal window is looking to close next week. There'll be a lot of things going on, and we'll keep track of them for you. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
At Busey Bank, we understand you have a vision for your future, and we're committed to helping you achieve your dreams. Since 1868, we've invested in recruiting and retaining the best and brightest associates. Busey's unique culture is one that values and supports you, provides opportunities for growth, and is much more than a job. It's a career. Build relationships, build community, and build your career at Busey Bank. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley. We think it's been a great week for Illini athletics, and we're looking forward to a big one coming up. IlliniGuys.com, $99 a year, and you can be keeping track of everything, including the message boards, which gives you all the behind-the-scenes activities that lead up to days like we had with these two excellent commitments. And, of course, you can check for our Illini Guys Sports Spectacular radio show. Go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, and then you can see all of the stations that have it. Find the city closest to you. Find the station and the day, either Friday or Saturday, and the time, and tune us in. Let the station know that you do it. We'd really appreciate it. And, of course, listen to our other sister podcast, which is Ed's Recruiting Roundup and, of course, Sturdy for 30. They are out there regularly, and you can get the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular podcast, which is out at noon on Saturday after all of the other stations have aired the program. With that, this is Illini Guy Mike Kegley thanking Kedrick Prince and Matt Stevens for taking some time out of their weekend to talk to us. Go Illini!
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.